In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, dear friends, I welcome you, invite you to join me as we break open God's Word. If you turn to page 1027 in your missals, so there on page 1027, we see the readings for this 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. You recall that Mother Church is drawing from the Scriptures in order to give us a lesson, a reminder, to focus on one aspect of our discipleship. She draws from the Scriptures in order to encourage us to recommit ourselves to the Lord Jesus. Every Sunday of Ordinary Time could be an examination of conscience, an opportunity for us to assess, where am I in terms of my relationship, my discipleship to the Lord Jesus? Of course, we look at the different readings and we see the interaction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We know the first reading outside of the Easter season is from the Old Testament. It tells us something, and it points us to something into the New Testament. The gospel reading then fulfills what we see in the Old Testament. This dynamics of the Old Testament and New Testament is very important for us to understand the one plan of salvation. Now, since we started to break open the Word in this fashion, I've received a lot of positive emails. It's good to get positive emails, right? In particular, I love when people say, "Finally, I understand the importance of the Old Testament." Some have said, "I've tried to read the Old Testament before. It's confusing. I don't know what's happening. Sometimes it scares me, some of the accounts. I just didn't see how it fit." And so many were just focusing on the New Testament. But now they're saying, "Wait a minute, now I see this interaction. I see how the church is using the Scriptures, using the Old Testament at Mass, and I can understand. Oh, that's why we have an Old Testament. That's how the Old Testament can help me." And it's important, dear friends, that we understand how to read and understand to navigate the sacred Scriptures. We are the children of God, the people of God, and this is the Word of God. This Word has been given to us in order to help us how we are called to live. In the midst of a fallen world, a broken world that wants to beat us up, oftentimes we have questions that come from our heart. Dear friends, God has provided the answers to those questions. We are not orphans. We are the children of God. But oftentimes we don't read His answers. Do you know this is a living Word? It speaks to our hearts. We approach and ask, why do bad things happen? Why is there suffering? God has provided an answer. You know, the mystics tell us that the Scriptures, it is God's love letter to His children. But we have to understand them, understand how to navigate them, become comfortable with reading the Scriptures. Do you realize the only person who triumphs by the people of God not knowing the Word of God is the evil one? Because the evil one wants us to believe that we're orphans, that God doesn't have answers, that there's no solution to our problems, that we have no cause for hope. So the evil one is the one who benefits by us not knowing the Scriptures. So we're going to kick the evil one out, and we're going to make sure that we continue to study the Scriptures, that the people of God know the Word of God. So with that said, let's go to our first reading today. Our first reading is from the Book of Wisdom. Now remember, this is one of those seven books that the Protestant reformers took out of the Bible. Remember that long story I told you about how they were questioning, can we translate the Hebrew Old Testament into a Greek Old Testament? And then they said, yes, we can, so that people can read the sacred Scriptures. And when they began to do that, that's when they began to codify, to bring together what we now call the Old Testament. When they were doing that, there were seven newer books at the time, very influenced by Greek philosophy during this Second Temple Judaism. And they said, let's include these seven books too. So they were included in part of the Old Testament list, the canon of the Old Testament. Now, these seven books, we know that Jesus knew them. In fact, we see hints of them in his teachings. But 500 years ago, the Protestant reformers said, no, there was a mistake. They should never have been added, and they took the seven books out. But we want to understand as Catholics why this book and the seven books are included. I also think it's important that we highlight that because if you try to quote this to your Protestant friends, this Book of Wisdom, you're going to have some explaining to do, right? Because again, it's not going to be in their Bible. So with that, let's look at our reading today. This particular Book of Wisdom, we know it was written by King Solomon, the favorite son and heir of King David. Solomon was hailed as the wisest man to ever live. How did he get that wisdom? Let's look. I prayed. And prudence was given me. I pleaded, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. How did Solomon get all that wisdom? He's telling us, I prayed, I pleaded. What's the difference between prayer and plead? When we pray and we don't get the answer, we keep praying. That's pleading. When we pray, we don't get the answer and we quit, then that's called a lack of faith. We pray, we pray, we pray, we're pleading. Solomon tells us, I prayed, I pleaded, and prudence and wisdom was given to me. And what happened once he received wisdom? Look at the rest of that reading. Not mace or scepter, human authority, not gold or silver, no jewel compared with divine wisdom. When Solomon received divine wisdom, he said, take everything else from me. Nothing else in this passing world compares to divine wisdom. And those in the congregation who have experienced that, who have tasted divine wisdom, you understand exactly what Solomon is speaking about. Once we encounter divine wisdom, let this world go. Nothing in this world competes. But to those who are among us who have not yet felt that divine wisdom, you read this passage and this sounds like crazy talk, huh? What? Get rid of all our money? Wisdom more important than influence or power? Than wealth? That's crazy talk. What are they talking about? I don't understand that. It's only when we have that taste of divine wisdom, which God desires to give to each one of us, it's only then we begin to understand. Solomon received wisdom, and it was worth everything. He was willing to let everything else go. Okay, that's our Old Testament understanding. Let's move now to our gospel. So our gospel, we're still in the year of Mark. Remember that our Sunday readings are based on a three-year cycle of the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're in the year of Mark. And Jesus is still on his way to Jerusalem. He knows that when he gets to Jerusalem, his passion and death are waiting for him. He's a dead man walking. He's emphasizing important things that he wants us to understand as his disciples. If you choose to follow me, this is what it means. If you choose to follow me, this is what you must do. He's emphasizing, stressing. He wants to make sure that we get this. So let's look and see what happens today. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, oftentimes in our Lord's public ministry, the crowds were always with him. The crowds were always around because they wanted something. Give us a miracle. Give us a sign. Give us a healing. They always wanted something. But then Jesus would start to preach. Forgive your enemies 70 times 7 times. What? Go the extra mile in selfless service. Huh? Go and seek out the sick and the poor and serve them. What? This man's talking crazy talk. What's he speaking about? You know what? Just give me my miracle and you can keep going. The vast majority of the people who heard our Lord's teachings chose not to follow him. One member of our congregation recently shared with me, an older woman who read a gospel book for the first time. First time. Older Christian, first time read the gospel book, a gospel book. She read the gospel and she said, "You know, Father, if I was alive when Jesus was preaching, if I was in a village in Palestine, and he came through and preached the gospel, I don't know if I would have followed him. I don't know if I would have followed him." Now, God can bless that sincerity and that transparency with graces of conversion. That's honesty. Sometimes we can forget many of us were born into this faith. We don't challenge ourselves enough. We just take it for granted. I was born Catholic. I've always been Catholic. Well, if you don't put your Catholic faith in terms of your discipleship to Jesus Christ, it doesn't amount to a pile of beans. We have to understand what it means to be a Christian. We have to constantly challenge ourselves to follow the way of the Lord Jesus. And so again, we have to provoke that, move our hearts. But this young man, he's different. He runs to Jesus. He breaks out from the crowd. He runs to Jesus. He gets to Jesus and he kneels before him. That's a posture of adoration, very uncommon in Israel. Popular in Rome and Greece, not among the Israelites. You did not give that posture to a human being. But this young man runs to Jesus. He sees something in him. He runs to him. He kneels before him. "What must I do? Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" Because you can just imagine the intensity of that moment. And what does Jesus immediately do? He pushes him a little bit. "Why do you call me good? For there is only one who is good, God above." He sees the faith and the sincerity of this young man. He wants to reveal something to him. He wants to show him a portion, a glimpse of his own divinity. "Why do you call me good? It's proper that you call me good, but there's only one who's good, God." and the young man missed it. He wasn't ready for it. How oftentimes does God want to reveal things to us, but we're too busy or too distracted? We can't receive what the Lord God wants to give to us. Jesus tried to reveal his divinity. The young man misses it, so he begins to just list the commandments. You know the commandments, and he lists them from the Old Testament. Now, Matthew's version of this, he gives us more information. Matthew chapter 19. If you have time this afternoon on the Sabbath, read chapter 19 of Matthew's gospel. Same account, same event, different variations, different perspectives. And I do want to encourage you to read the sacred scriptures on the Sabbath. No work, no busy stuff. The Sabbath is for the sacred scriptures, for prayer, and for your family. Turn off the TV, get off the computer. This is God's day. It does not belong to you. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. You will honor the Sabbath. So if you're looking for something, Matthew 19 could be a good variation. In Matthew's version, the young man, after he's told about the commandments, he says, but I've done all this. What still do I lack? The young man understood. The commandments are necessary. I have followed all them. But there's something missing, something else that's in my heart that's pushing me. What had happened? It was a man, this young man, who was saying no to all the fallenness of the world. He was following the commandments, which are necessary. He was saying no, no, no to all the sinful things. But he never got to the point where he said yes to Jesus Christ. He was saying no, 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 but he never got to yes. What still do I lack? Let's pick up Mark's version today. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Jesus is pushing him. You have some other security that's weighing on your heart. You're relying on something else other than God. Get rid of it. Sell everything you have. Give it to the poor, and then come, follow me. Jesus is telling the young man, you cannot follow me right now. There's something else in your heart. Something else has you. You have to let that go. Serve the poor. Do good, and then come follow me. Now first, let's talk about the money. Yes, this is about money. And the Lord goes on to develop this in the rest of today's portion of Mark's gospel. Did you hear the part where he says, it's easier for a camel to get to the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get to heaven? Dear friends, if the Lord has blessed you with wealth, understand that it is very difficult for you to get to heaven. Why? Because rich people inevitably, in our fallen nature, they put their security, their trust, their confidence in their money. They rely on its influence and its power. Be careful. Be careful, dear friends. If God has blessed us, it's so that we can be a blessing to others. God has not given us money in order to live luxuriously, to go on exotic vacations, to live in big homes, to drive the nicest cars. That is not the Christian way. That is not how we live as Christians. What about the rest of us, though, who have not been given wealth? Right? Maybe you're hearing the wealthy, it's hard for them to get to heaven. You're like, oh, I don't have anything to worry about there. Right? What about the rest of us? Dear friends, we are under a biblical mandate to tithe. The first 10% of our income goes to God. It goes to God. It's an act of trust. I believe in God. I trust in God. My confidence is in Him, not in this money, not in the things of this world. I trust God. If you're not tithing and you're using the first 10% for other things, you are stealing from God. Yeah, I trust God, but not my money. I trust God, but really 10%? I've got bills to pay. It's placing the things of this world above God. Today the Lord is provoking us, just as He provoked the rich young man, to put God first. The tithe is something we observe as Christians. It shows that our money has no control over us. But it is about the money, but it also goes beyond that. Here the Lord Jesus is speaking about anything that tugs on our heart, that wants to take away our allegiance from Him. Are there other things in your hearts, dear friends, that are taking you away from God? Perhaps fear, anxiety. Perhaps it's an obsession with your health. Perhaps it's a desire for well-being. What are the things in your heart that are taking you from a complete and total surrender to Jesus Christ? Today, Jesus Christ says to each of us, get rid of that. Cast that out. Do good. Serve the poor. And then come, follow me. Dear friends, if we are not willing to give 100% to Jesus Christ, we are not worthy of him. We cannot say, I'll follow Jesus, I'll give him 89%. That's pretty good. I'll follow Jesus, how about 95%? No, no. Because, dear friends, that 11% and that 5%, they become idols in our heart and they will demand to be worshipped. We have to give our entire hearts, our total selves, a complete surrender to Jesus Christ. In other parts of our Lord's public ministry, he will tell people, you are not worthy of me. You are not worthy of me. Only those who are willing to surrender all things are worthy of him. Did you hear the message from the book of wisdom? When you have wisdom, you're willing to get rid of everything. Here Jesus raises that and says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you must be willing to abandon all things and to trust me alone. Dear friends, that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And again, many of us were born into this faith. We take it for granted. We don't provoke ourselves or challenge ourselves enough. We think, I'm Catholic. I've always been Catholic. And we think that's good enough. Do you know the Pharisees said that to Jesus? You speak these things, but we are sons of Abraham. Jesus laughed and said, God can turn these stones into sons of Abraham. You think because you are Catholic, you are okay. God can turn stones into Catholics. What are you doing with it? Are you letting that message get into your heart and to transform you and change you? Have you completely surrendered your entire life to him? Let's look at our second reading from the letter to the Hebrews. In our second reading, in the Pauline and the tradition of St. Paul, we hear, brothers and sisters, indeed the word of God is living and effective. It's a living word, dear friends. Sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections in the thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. When we're willing to accept that divine wisdom, when we accept the lordship of Jesus Christ, the word of God comes into us. It begins to do his work. It begins to carve things out. It shows us areas of darkness. I didn't realize I was so arrogant. I didn't realize I was so unkind. The word of God cuts right between the soul and the spirit in order to show us and reveal things to us so that more and more we can give more of ourselves to Jesus Christ. And more we realize how naked and exposed we are before God. God is no fool. He cannot be tricked. God knows all things. And if he's desiring to give us divine wisdom, if we're willing to accept that gift, if we pray and plead, then it must be the most important thing in our hearts. And if we're willing to say yes to the call of Jesus Christ, we must be willing to surrender all things so that we can be worthy of him. Dear friends, Mother Church draws from these scriptures today in order to remind us what it means to be a Christian. And to give us the invitation to recommit, rededicate ourselves to the Lord Jesus. To say to him, my life for you, my life for Christ. And then when he looks at each of us and he says to us, as he said to the rich young man, come follow me. We can say to him generously, unconditionally, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I choose you. I will follow you. And that's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a Christian. And today we get to see a new Christian be brought forth from God's grace. We get to witness a baptism, dear friends. So as I help, I'm going to invite all the children to come up. We're going to need your help. Come on up, children.